right or wrong take precedent.
Hello and welcome. This is live coverage on Press TV. We're going to take you to the Iranian city of Mashhad. President Ahmadinejad speaking there. Let's take a listen.
In political dimensions, political and social dimensions, and economic dimensions, my dears, today we have two big missions. Our first mission is to develop and construct Iran and to make it advance. We must all join hands and build Iran up in all ways, by all means, all places, its towns, its villages, its from its borders, agriculturally, industrially, scientifically, culturally, and in terms of social values. We must make a model society. And our second mission is to reform the world situation and to change the equations that govern the world based on justice and based on interactions. Our dears, this second mission means Iran's reform, and it means the development of Iran. They are one. They are of one kind, and they become one mission. They're intertwined. Iran's development without its presence, effective presence in world equations, is not possible. And the powerful presence in the world is not possible without Iran's development. Some people believe that they can form a wall around Iran and develop Iran, but they are mistaken. This imagination is wrong. It's misinformed, and it will never happen for two reasons, which are very simple and clear. The first reason is that if we do not have anything to do with others, we will not be able to affect their decisions. And we are forced to interact with the world economically, politically, and culturally. If they write the rules of the world, if they regulate the world, and if they, in their own words, they set the rules for the game across the world, and they set the dimensions for judgment, that would mean that we should always be subjugated to their rule. Look at the economic regulations that they have created in the world. It's all one-sided against nations and in the favor of world capitalists. We cannot cut our relations with the world economy. We are forced to have economic relations. But as for the regulations, well, they have written the regulations, and any time they don't like a nation or a government, they immediately use the same political and economic regulation to pressure the nations they don't like. They either embargo that nation or they cause the cost of the nation to go up. It is the same in the political arena. Their political equations are one-sided. The UN Security Council is one-sided. the laws are one-sided to the benefit of the arrogance. If we do not powerfully interfere in the world equations, any time we want or we wish to live powerfully and independently, they will use such equations against us. They will judge us and condemn us. And you saw the elements that was related to them, Saddam Hussein of Iraq. They forced him to attack Iran and to damage Iran. If we do not get our word in, all the rules of the world will join hands and will act against us, and they will not allow us to build Iran. The second reason is they, in their interactions, confrontations with other nations, seek complete surrender and subjugation from those nations. They do not recognize any boundaries to the degree to which they rule over other nations. They would come into a nation's house and they would totally dominate that nation. Economy, politics, advancement, and the reputation of a country is taken away by them. You saw in the nuclear program issue, other than reducing tensions and based on confidence building, they came and said, Natanz must be closed down so that we can trust you. We said, okay. They said, okay, Natanz was shut down. And then they said, no, we still can't trust you. What can we do? We asked, they said, right, shut down Isfahan, and Isfahan was shut down, and we asked, was there any confidence? And they said, no. They said, well, you have to close down the laboratories of the universities as well. And that was done, but they weren't satisfied still. Then they said the scientific courses on nuclear sciences have to be shut down. Were they satisfied? No. They said you have to accept the additional protocol. The additional protocol means that the agency inspectors can come to Iran without the Iranian government's permission and visit any location in Iran. This means the enemy can learn all our defensive capabilities and in the right time strike us. And even this was accepted without a matchless agreement against the Constitution. But they were still dissatisfied. They said you have to accept the implementation plan. They said in the implementation plan, it's been forecast that if an Iranian scientist, nuclear scientist, comes across an innovation or comes up with an innovation and wanted to invent something, before any action, the scientist must inform the agency inspectors, and this was accepted also. But did they stop? No, they didn't. After all this retreat and giving advantages to them, the criminal Mr. Bush came forward and announced Iran is the axis of evil. Now we must attack Iran. My dears, This isn't as if we do not have anything to do with them, they would not have anything to do with us. Today, on the world arena, to the amount to which you enter the world equations and force the arrogance into retreat, we increase the opportunities inside Iran. To the same level that we are strong in Iran, we can affect the world equations. They want all the world regulations, all the possibilities and wealth, and all the science of the world to be specific to them, to be in their hands, and other nations should be needy in front of them. From the first day of the revolution, when Imam Khomeini came, he pursued this policy of building Iran through a strong presence, a strong and effective presence around the world in order to develop Iran domestically. They are two sides of the same coin. Now, let's take a perspective over the last 30 years, where we are today on the world stage and domestically, and what we ought to do. Please show a little bit more patience. During the last 30 years, four of the arrogance monopolies has been broken up by the Islamic Revolution. And an elementary equation, a brutal elementary equation, has been broken. The first monopoly, I'd like to recall for the young people, and the elders will speak of it to the youth. 30 years ago, before the revolution, the arrogant powers had broken the world up into two poles, the West and the East. They had set up regulations, theories, that each nation, each government, each human either must adhere to the East or adhere to the West. There was no other space, there was no other atmosphere or possibility for life. Even according to their doctrines, they were saying there are two doctrines. There is Marxism and there is capitalism. If anybody went against the Marxists, they would say, you're American. If anyone went against the Americans called them a communist. And these two had divided the world between them, and they wouldn't let anyone to escape their rule and their dominance, to escape the two blocks, dominance. Imam Khomeini came, and our revolution began with a heavenly slogan, with a heavenly motto. In this square and in Martyrs Street, people shouted, neither Western nor Western is the Islamic Republic. From that day on, the bipolar world broke up. Other nations understood that there are other ways to lead their lives. The second monopoly that the revolution broke was the monopoly of military interference to regulate the world. these two powers had an arms race based on their military might, they would rule over the world. The moment they wished, governments would fall, countries would turn upside down. In geographical maps, changes would be made. But our revolution also broke this monopoly. A big section of this monopoly was broken during the Sacred Defense Iran-Iraq War, and the other part of it in the occupation was broken up in the occupation of Iraq and Afghanistan. Nowadays, weapons of mass destruction and nuclear weapons cannot interfere in their political affairs of other nations. The other monopoly that was broken was the monopoly over science and technology. What is more important than is the monopoly of the military and the military dominance is the scientific dominance. Without science, no country is able to progress and advance. The arrogant powers had monopolized advanced sciences and technologies, and some countries became countries, the first world countries with all the latest sciences, and other countries became second-hand nations that would forever be needy to the first world. In the nuclear issue, despite the fact that they wanted to break our independence, the bigger aim was to deprive us of advanced sciences and advanced technology. A nation that does not possess advanced technology in this world will forever remain underdeveloped. In the nuclear issue, with your stance and with the stance of the leadership and their resistance, with the epic that you created, the scientific monopoly of the arrogant powers was broken, and the road was opened to achieve advanced technologies for all nations. Of course, we can see 2 years ago that I came to see you in a provincial trip. Do you remember that the superpowers were screaming over the nuclear power and were ripping their throats over the nuclear issue, but you stood and put them in their place? Today, all of the world is aware that the U.S., well, not only the U.S., but even if all the powers and even call their ancestors and use different ghouls, will not be able to take away the smallest amount of Iran's rights. The fourth monopoly that the Islamic Revolution broke was the monopoly of the method. The fourth monopoly that was broken was the monopoly over the method of government. They came and touted a a system of government called liberal democracy. They wrote the laws to it. They provided the measures. They became the prosecutor and the judge and the jury. And whoever acted according to their wishes was recognized as a democracy, and whoever acted against them became undemocratic. The Iranian nation that has carried out 30 elections in 30 years is not considered democratic by them. But nations that do not even hold elections but adhere to their principles are called democracies by the arrogant powers. They make themselves the judges of the measure of democracy. But in the recent elections, with your epic presence in the elections and your choice, broke the monopoly, broke this exploitative monopoly. The crowd say, well, we love you, Mr. Ahmadinejad, and Mr. Ahmadinejad says, I love you too, and I love each one of you. Back to the speech. They, in the name of freedom and in the name of democracy, they came up with a few parties, and each party has a number of members, and the entire power in the country is in either party's hands. The people have no active participation. They're not free. You and the Islamic Republic of Iran in the recent elections had the biggest level of participation and freedom and learned choice, and you demonstrated this to the world. In the rest of the world, there is no sign of people's participation. Here is the popular power. This is where the popular power came on the scene. In the Western democracies, the one who rules has three elements. In the liberal democracy, instead of the people, three elements rule. The first one is the capitalists and the capital. Secondly, the parties, and finally, the media, the mouthpiece media. Here, you people in the recent elections broke the monopolies of capitalists, of political parties, and foreign media. You broke it all up. They had two satellite TV channels. They had put up two satellite TV channels just to put out their propaganda against you. And I don't even want to name them. But you dears broke all their schemes and put up the banner of Islam over Iran. But in the elections, there was a fundamental element that was moved. The arrogant powers, in order to dominate the freedom-loving nations had a complicated method. They always created a confrontational front inside the countries they had targeted. So they would come inside the countries, and they would cause domestic discourse and elements. And their elements would come into towns, and they would create skirmishes and scuffles. And if a nation is involved in infighting, will not be able to be victorious. Imam Khomeini transferred the battle front to the outside of the country. Imam came and specified the International Day of Gods and set up a front against all the arrogant powers. The enemy wanted to bring this front back into our country, and in some years it had certain successes. Take back your minds to 7 or 8 years ago. They were trying to bring the skirmishes and the scuffles among the people of this nation. But in the last 4 years, you people stood up to them and took the battle front to the White House in Washington. Did you hear what that lady, the foreign secretary, said? She said, "We are worried about the Iranian influence alongside the American borders. We are worried about the presence of the Iranian nation, its civilization and its culture and its revolution in Latin America, in Africa and Asia." My dears, in this recent elections, the enemy tried to bring the battle front to the interior of this country. But I have told the enemies on your behalf that the enemy is mistaken, that you do not know the Iranian nation. This nation loves justice. And it's against oppression and arrogance, and they will strike you in the face so hard that you would lose your way home. God Almighty will protect all of you and the whole of Iranian nation. In these recent elections, they used two subjects. They were upset about two subjects, and they are angry about two subjects. The first subject is the ascendance of Iran's grandeur. Nearly 20 presidents and heads of state who called me to congratulate me on my presidency, they all mentioned two things. One of them was that how grand is the nation of Iran, What an amazing undertaking it assumed, and it provided the world with a model for democracy. And the second issue was that they mentioned was that they said that this elections, it will be the beginning of upheaval in the region. The enemy is angry about this grandeur of the Iranian nation. The second thing they are angry about is that the nation came on the political scene and specified the route and the direction of the revolution and reconfirmed its adherence to this route. Justice seeking, true reform, purity, and confronting the arrogance, fighting against injustice, brotherhood, and brotherly love has again been confirmed. They became very angry to hear this. Do you recall a few months ago, the Western heads of state used to say, whoever is elected, so we don't care who is elected, whoever, anyone but Ahmadinejad. But people replied, we want Ahmadinejad. They pursued two objectives. The first objective is that the front, that the Iranian nation and other nations against them in the world and near their borders have been opened. They wanted to bring that back into our country, and I want to tell them, you are mistaken. And the second aim they pursue is they saw that in the last era, a government came to power that had 28 million people vote for it. And this government took the scuffled with them and belittled them. And now a government is in power that has 40 million people behind it. The person they didn't want to be chosen was chosen by the Iranian nation. The biggest nightmare was the choice made by the people of Iran. They tried to interfere in our elections. They talked nonsense. They were rude. They fomented aggression and against people's wealth and property. They wanted to reduce the power that had been created by the 40 million votes. But I want to say on your behalf to them that they think that you can only imagine that with your nonsense you can do anything in this country. The moment the new government is in power, it will return to the international scene and drag you down from your arrogant position and stance. They should wait for the new wave of revolutionary ideals and justice seeking by the Iranian nation is on its way and will not allow the arrogant powers even one night sleep well. The world must know. We employ logic and dialogue, and we have always desired negotiations, and we have declared this. But they insulted our nation. We hope they reform their ways and they express their regrets. They have experienced our nation's will, and they should know that when we are prepared to negotiate based on mutual respect and justice, it will act according to its expression. And if they act otherwise, we will give the same reply that we gave to President Bush that has been buried in history. Our stance in the world is clear. We say the world must be based on justice and brotherhood. The days when four or five countries believe themselves to be the owners of the world has passed, has gone. All nations must be able to manage the world within a framework of justice and brotherhood. And we are ready for interaction within such framework. And our second point, and a short point, is to do with Iran's development. Our dears, we are at the footsteps of a new era. You must know that the revolution has ascended to a higher level. We must build Iran based on justice, based on brotherhood, based on respect for the nation and for the people. Everybody is equal in the eyes of the law, and when our leadership declares that he is the same as all the rest of the nation in front of Iran's laws, I announce here that nobody should imagine himself to be above the law and the owner of the country and the owner of the regulations. Nobody has the right to assume a special right or special advantages for himself, for his close ones, or for his clique. This nation wants the government persistently to give back all the rights that have been monopolized by a special group and bring it back to the Islamic Omars, to Islamic masses. This is what the nation wants, and God willing, and this government that has arisen from the people will see this through. Today, we must build Iran through unity. No one has the right to put himself above the people and above people's ideals. No one has the right to insult the vote of the people of Iran. No one has the right to know himself to be better than the nation. The world must know the Iranian nation has chosen the route for justice and for spirituality, and through obedience of the jurisprudence will travel this road to the very end. Everybody must refer to the law. Dictatorship is when you don't adhere to the law. Whoever believes himself to be above the law is a dictator. And the Iranian nation have shown what they do with the dictators. Today, development, spirituality, justice, and all-out progress and brotherhood and love is what the Iranian nation wants. It is what 40 million voters wanted. It is the want of 70 million brave people of this land. The people must know that the government, through reliance on God and with bigger motivation, in order to give service to the people and to bring justice to the people, will move and does not fear any power in the direction in which it is moving. The Iranian nation, showed that it has huge potentials, and its place in the world is much higher than the current status quo. Iran's special position in its domestic affairs is much, much greater than it is at the moment. It has been proven that the Iranian nation can. We must join hands. The era is the era of unity, of brotherhood. The era is the era for the appearance of Imam Mahdi. May God hasten his arrival. It has been said all across the world, and the Iranian nation holds the banner of love toward the jurisprudence and God throughout the world. We must join hands, build Iran, and carry out the world missions of the revolution. Well, nearing dusk, let's say a few prayers.
ای خدای بزرگ، ای خدای مهربان،
او kind God, we swear to this kind Imam to add to the brotherly relations and the ascendant.
If you have just joined us, that is President Ahmadinejad, the newly re-elected president of Iran, speaking in the holy city of Mashhad. A huge crowd gathered there to listen to the president. Let's have a quick look at some of the things that the president touched upon in his speech there in the holy city of Mashhad. He said Iran should develop itself. He said we should build a model society. He went on to say that the injustices in the world should end. President Ahmadinejad said he accused the United Nations Security Council of bias. And he also said that the bullying powers won't be able to isolate Iran. He reasserted Iran's right to peaceful nuclear technology, recounting all the pressure on Iran to abandon its nuclear program, the pressure that Iran has withstood thus far. He told the crowd there that things were going to get better for Iran and the Iranians. And he spoke of the Iranian revolution, the Islamic revolution of 1979, that in his words broke the world monopolies, among them their monopoly on technology, advanced technology. He accused the enemies of Iran of stoking the post-election protests in the country. You recall, we have covered that for you here on Press TV, things that happened in the wake of the presidential elections in this country just a few weeks back. He said this nation will hit their enemies hard in the face. Also, President Ahmadinejad said that Iran is open to logic and dialogue, referring perhaps to advances that countries like the United States have been making for engaging Iran diplomatically in dialogue to try to restore diplomatic ties between the two countries that have been frozen for the past 30 years. President Ahmadinejad again speaking there in Mashhad.
And a very warm welcome to you if you're joining us.